Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Before you stand, go ahead and find your place, if you would, in Acts chapter 18. That will be our main passage of Scripture this evening. And once you get there, just mark that spot with a bulletin or a bookmark or the ribbon of your Bible, if you would. And then turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's actually where we're going to start by reading. So once you've found your place in Acts chapter 18 and save that spot, find 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then stand once you have both places, if you would, please. We're in 1 Corinthians 3, and look down at verse number 3. Paul, of course, speaking to the Corinthian church, says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to come in Thy house once more. We thank You for the songs that have been sung, lifting up Your name. Lord, we pray that You would bless now the preaching of Your Word. Give me the words to say, Lord. I pray that You would speak to every heart and every life. If there's someone here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that that person would receive Christ as Savior before this night is over. Lord, I pray that You would just have Your will accomplished in this place. May You get the glory through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. And then find your place in Acts chapter 18. Baptists like to eat. I mean, there were some that were talking about just heading out downstairs and having some food during the preaching even. But Baptists like to eat. And there's nothing better, honestly, than home cooking. Something that someone takes time to make by hand, make at the house. My mom, for many, many years, has made the best homemade pizza. She makes the crust from scratch and the sauce from scratch. And we adapted that recipe. We make pizza. Even in Mexico, we make pizza sometimes. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. And but when you're making the dough, it's interesting. You got to get some warm water. You put the yeast in. And what starts as just a little packet of yeast eventually turns into a big bunch of dough that you turn into crust. And in Matthew 13, 33, the scripture says, "Another parable spake he, Jesus, unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." Now, oftentimes in scripture, leaven or yeast represents sin and how it spreads and how you got to reject it. You got to get it out before it affects your life, before it affects others and the church and those around you. But in this instant, it represents the kingdom of heaven and how what starts is but a small thing. What starts is Jesus Christ teaching His 12 disciples eventually grew, and then as we know, it grew much more. We had 120 in the upper room, and then all those that were saved at the day of Pentecost. And in this today, 2,000 years later, there are churches all around this great land, and there's churches all around the globe. By the glory of God. And it is so neat to see what started as just one church in Jerusalem has now encompassed the whole world. Of course, we're not, there's still a great need, and there's still many unreached people groups. There's still places where there's not a Bible preaching Baptist church. But it is God that gives the increase based on the Word of God. He blesses His Word, it will not return void. And when we go out and preach the Word of God, people will hear, and there will be lives changed as God changed my life through His holy word. In Acts chapter 18 now, we're going to see the history behind 1 Corinthians 3. As we just read, Paul stated that he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So now in Acts chapter 18, we see this take place. Verse 1, the Bible says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Scripture says that Paul, who is the planter here at this church in Corinth, he preached the word of God. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. He took every opportunity to sow seeds. He was pressed in the spirit, Holy Spirit-led witnessing. Christian, if you're going to plant a spiritual seed, it needs to be with spirit power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own power. We must be spirit-led. Do we dare go forth in our own power and try to convert the heathen? Do we trust in our own abilities and our own knowledge and persuasive speech? Do we confide in what we can do? If there's not much fruit, I believe many times it's because we try to serve the Lord, we try to do His work in our own power, instead of resting in the power of the Holy Spirit and testifying that Jesus is Christ, which is what Paul did here in Acts chapter 18. But notice this. In verse number 6, it says, When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Even when you sow seeds faithfully, and you take time to instruct people in the Word of God, and you tell people and testify of Jesus Christ through Spirit power, even then there will still be people who resist, who oppose the work of God. It says they oppose themselves. Now this is interesting. It doesn't say they oppose Paul. It doesn't say they oppose the Scriptures even. The word here is they oppose themselves. The reality is they were affected as much the same way we were without Jesus Christ, affected by a condition for which we had no hope in ourselves. We were without Christ, without salvation. We had a future that was very grim in a place called hell before we met the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one cure, the one anecdote, the one thing that could cure our sin-sick soul was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, right now there's a lot of people fearing this coronavirus. I understand that it's been hyped up a lot in the media, the coronavirus. But they're looking for an anecdote or a vaccine, if you will, to help prevent it from spreading. But you know, there's things much more dangerous than coronavirus. There are spiders, there are snakes that are very venomous and very dangerous. Thankfully, where we are in Mexico, the elevation kind of keeps them at bay. But if you got bit by a very poisonous snake, how silly it would be to refuse the anecdote, the one thing that can cure you. You would be opposing yourself. And that's what they did here in Corinth. They opposed themselves and blasphemed the Holy Spirit, blasphemed the Lord in the name Jesus Christ. You know what? A good planter just keeps on planting. Even when the fowls come, when the ground is dry, when it seems there's no fruit, just keep planting those seeds of the gospel. What happened next? Here in verse 7. Well, let's finish reading verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles. And I just want to say this right quick. How many of us can honestly say that? My hands are clean. In other words, I'm not guilty for not having witnessed to you. How many people whose paths we cross day by day, we cannot honestly say this, that our hands are clean, that we've done everything we can to present the gospel in a way they can understand, in a way that the Holy Spirit will speak to their heart and they can be saved. There's so much more we can do in planting. But this is what happened here. It says, he departed thence, verse 7, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Paul could have gotten discouraged at that point. When the Jews, every Sabbath, refused to listen, when they opposed themselves, when they continued to refuse the message of the gospel. He could have gotten discouraged and gone on to the next town or quit. But what did he do? He just literally knocked on the next door. And justice answered the door, whose house joined heart of the synagogue. And it says that a chief ruler of synagogue, Crispus, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many Corinthians were saved and baptized. You know what? The devil would love us to quit sowing seeds and just stop where we are when things get tough and when it seems that people aren't listening. Just keep sowing those seeds, my brother. Just keep sowing the seed. God will bless it. It won't return void. The planter is one who treads new paths. He goes to places yet unreached. He establishes works for the Lord. Examples of planters are missionaries, church planters, evangelists. These three are virtually interchangeable. A missionary is a church planter in a foreign land. If you're not a church planter in a foreign land, then you're not really doing the work of missions. Evangelist is a broader term. It means one who speaks the good news, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel message. Evangelist, one who tells the good news. We need some people who will tell the good news in this day and age. You know what, friend? There is so much bad news today. It fills our homes. It fills the social media. It fills the news networks. Doom and gloom constantly. Bad news, bad news. That's why I don't even like to even mention this coronavirus, because it's hyped up so much. So much bad news. You can read on TV, a newspaper, magazine. You can find it online, on Twitter or Facebook or other social networks. You can listen to it on the radio. There is no shortage of bad news. What was the first telecommunication, the first message that was transmitted over long distance? Anyone here know? Beep, 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 beep. Samuel Morse wrote through the Morse code, first transmission, "What hath God wrought?" What hath God wrought? The first telecommunication pointed at God and His power and His ability and the fact that He blessed our nation with that kind of technology, which by large sadly is used for evil in this day and age, but it can be used for good. It can be used for good. You can pick up a phone and call a brother or sister or send a message of encouragement. Say, "Brother, I just heard that your mom passed away." Or "Sister, I just heard that your aunt's in the hospital." And you can be an encouragement and a blessing. You know, even beyond that, the greatest news this world has ever received, that there is a Redeemer, that there is a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. We need people who will take the good news of this book and tell it to people far and wide. People here in Missouri as well as around the world. We need more people who will plant the Word of God so the hearts can be changed. Paul, he was a planter. But we also see someone in this passage of Scripture who is a waterer or irrigator by the name of Apollos. Look down, if you would, please, at verse 24. We see where he comes on the scene. Acts 18:24. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And he was disposed to pass into Achaia," or the region where we have Corinth. "The brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." Apollos, he was the waterer. Water is a wonderful thing when you're thirsty. He was a waterer. He came to Corinth and built upon the work that Paul had established already. He was an eloquent man and very knowledgeable in the Scripture. And he not only had much understanding of the Word of God, but he had a gift to communicate it well, eloquence. He had diligence in his study. He had boldness in his preaching. He was fervent in the Spirit. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He did not allow himself to be unteachable, though. This is something I admire about Apollos. That even though he knew the Scriptures, he was baptized of John, he knew the Word of the Lord, there was something, part of his understanding that wasn't complete. And when Aquila and Priscilla, verse 26, heard him, it says, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The thing I really like about Apollos, he was teachable. He was willing to learn, willing to grow in his understanding of the Scriptures. There was a certain missing piece of the puzzle, if you will, that Aquila and Priscilla provided. Because they knew Paul, and for whatever reason, their understanding was more complete in this regard. Our understanding of the Scriptures can be like a jigsaw puzzle. Some may have a better understanding of prophecy than others. Some may be able to expound on the parables or teachings of Christ. Some have wonderful knowledge of Old Testament history. Brother Pearson, one of the professors down at Heartland, great mind, knows much of the Old Testament. It'll blow your mind how much of the Old Testament Brother Pearson knows. I doubt anyone would be so arrogant as to say they understand this book cover to cover. It is a living book, living Word of God. It is amazing. You can continue to learn from it day by day. That's why we need to read the Bible and get in the Word. But through our whole lives, we can continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the knowledge of this book. In Brother Cope's office, he's the executive vice president of the college. He had this plaque when I was there. It may still be there. I don't know if it is or not. But there's this plaque in his office that said, "No one graduates from Bible study until he meets the author face to face." And I really like that. I believe it's true. We will continue to learn and grow if we allow the Lord to teach us up until the day we see the Lord face to face. We need to be teachable. We need to teach others as well. And that's the part of watering. Watering. This man, Apollos, he was recommended to the church by the church in Ephesus. And notice this, he passed into Achaia, and they received him. And when he was come, verse 27, it says he helped them much which had believed through grace. He helped them to grow. He watered them with the word of God. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Some of the Jews, perhaps, that Paul couldn't reach, the Lord used Apollos to reach. And there are people in your life that your pastor might not be able to reach per se. He might not have the same relationship or opportunity to reach that person that you have. And you could be the very person that God wants to go to that person and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt there are people that you can reach that others can't. Are you doing your part? And watering goes beyond preaching the gospel message and seeing people saved. It has to do with discipleship and growth in the Lord. I cannot make you grow in the Lord. I can't force you to grow. As we all have liberty of conscience, liberty of the soul, that decision is yours. Even so, you will only grow so much as you allow. And you can't make me grow in the Lord. That's a decision. Personal spiritual growth involves the decisions I must make to follow God. And even though every person ultimately will make the decision to grow or backslide, it still behooves us all to offer support and admonish others. The Ethiopian eunuch was proactively reading the book of Isaiah, but it took the counsel and explanation by Philip for that man to understand. Going back to the jigsaw puzzle metaphor of our understanding of the Scriptures, you may have the desire to grow and understand, but sometimes it just takes the help of a brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes it takes a message, a sermon from the Word of God to help you understand a certain area, to help you grow. Romans 15:2 says, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying," spiritual growth, being built up in the faith. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And 1 Timothy 1:4 says, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." The work of watering is critical. Critical for spiritual growth. I have a confession to make. I don't have much of a green thumb. Even though I was born and raised in Oklahoma, we have a lot of agriculture out that way, kind of like up here. I don't have a green thumb. In Arkansas, we tried a little garden. Of course, the soil there is kind of hard to work with in the first place. But it didn't work out too well. Just ask Courtney afterwards. We couldn't grow those vegetables that we tried to. We planted seeds, however, in the business of working for the church, as well as working a second job on the side, family responsibilities, and all these things. We didn't water this garden as we should have. And the summers down there are very hot. So sad to say, our little attempt of a garden, Courtney, the first couple years of marriage, it just didn't work out. And that's what happens when you don't water the seeds. The plants don't receive water. Many an evangelistic crusade has left the Great Commission incomplete because many seeds have been left unwatered in many places of this world. Places where hundreds perhaps have been saved, placed their faith in Jesus Christ, are not even recognizable as a place having received the gospel because there is no watering, no church established, no discipleship taking place, no establishment of a church. It takes more than sowing seeds. It must be watered to grow and bear more fruit to fulfill the Great Commission. You got to sow the seeds, but you got to water it. We need more waterers, people who will edify, build up your brother and sister in Christ. Say a word of encouragement. Share something the Lord has shown you in your Bible reading. It can be a real blessing and encouragement to those around you. We need planters, we need waterers. But here in Acts chapter 18, we see another function that isn't even spoken of in 1 Corinthians 3. But we see it here. It's the helper. It's the helper. Verse 1 again. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." Aquila and Priscilla were helpers to Paul. They opened up their house for Paul to abide for a year and 6 months. I believe it was during this time that Paul led him to the Lord. In Romans 16, 3 and 4, Paul wrote this, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." By hosting Paul in Corinth and associating with Paul, they did jeopardize their lives. They put themselves in jeopardy by reaching out to Paul, by assisting Paul and being a blessing to him. When insurrection was made against Paul, they still continued hosting him. They traveled with Paul to Ephesus, as we see here in verse number 18. Look in verse 18, please. It says, "And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and they then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." They traveled with Paul. They were willing to go on a missions trip. Amen? We ought to all be willing to go on a missions trip as a minimum. And it's a great opportunity for the Lord to work on your heart for the need for missions. But they went along with Paul and they stayed in Ephesus. And it was in Ephesus when they heard whom? Apollos. And they reached out to him. and took him aside and talked to him and helped him see the way of the Lord more perfectly, as we see in verse number 26 again. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. These two people, Aquila and Priscilla. Blessing to Paul, blessing to the church in Corinth, blessing to Apollos, blessing to the church in Ephesus thereafter. But notice this. Over in 1 Corinthians 3, people said, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. But we don't see anyone there that said, I am of Aquila. I'm of Priscilla. We don't see that. The planter and waterer were well known, well used of the Lord. Praise God. But you don't see people in the church saying, I am of Aquila, I am of Priscilla. And it's noteworthy to realize the importance of those in the church who don't get the recognition. There are people in this church, no doubt, who bear a burden and help in different areas of the ministry. But your name will never necessarily be in the bulletin unless it's the nursery schedule. Your name might never be on the marquee or on a bulletin or online saying you're going to be here as a guest speaker. You might not see your name printed out somewhere. There might not be much recognition for those helpers in Jesus Christ. You don't get much recognition, but you know what? That's all right. God sees the work, and He appreciates it. It's all for Him anyway. Did Jesus Christ not instruct us to do our alms in secret? Not let the left hand know what the right hand doeth? Did not He instruct us to pray in our closet, not openly, as well as when we fast, to not disfigure our faces, but to wash and cleanse and not appear to fast? In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. The fact is, I believe the best work we can do for the Lord is not that which is even seen. Oswald Chambers says, prayer is not what we do for the big work, to prepare for the big work. Prayer is the great work. Along with prayer, there are many deeds of kindness, deeds of love, service to our Lord that goes unseen and should go unseen. It doesn't have to be widely known, our service to the King of Kings. And obviously, some works for the Lord, we can't hide. And they will be known. But that shouldn't be the point. Shouldn't be recognition. Shouldn't be to build up a following of ourselves, but to lead people to the Lord, that they follow Him and give Him the glory. You might not be a Paul, venturing out to unreached areas of the world with the gospel, to plant churches, to preach the Word of God in places that haven't received it. You might not necessarily be an Apollos, somebody that preaches and teaches and instructs and disciples and leads a class and does a great work of watering in a great way like Apollos did. But maybe the Lord wants you to be that helper, that Aquila, that Priscilla. And granted, we should all do the work of planting and watering. But how many of us are willing to help out even in other areas to get behind the planters and waterers and to support the ministry of this church and of the missionaries you support? We know that, speaking of farming, the farmer who reaps great crops of wheat may drive the seed drill, he may run the irrigator, but behind every productive farmer there are always hired hands. Other men who grease the bearings, fuel the tractor, feed the horses, milk the cows, ride to town to purchase insecticide or seed, etc. And there's plenty of room for Christian helpers. And you don't have to wait till you're older to begin. You don't have to wait till you're an adult or till you finish Bible college. You don't even have to wait till you're in high school to help out in service to the King. There's room for all of us to serve the Lord now. And time is of the essence, because there are many people that have still not heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's perfect plan of redeeming the lost through the power of the gospel What are you? A planter? A water? A helper? Don't forget, overall, it is God that gives the increase. And He alone is worthy of the glory. Amen. Let's serve Him with our lives. Amen. Pastor.